Good evening. I am calling this evening's adjourned September meeting for Wednesday, November 4th, 2020 to order. May I have a roll call, please?
Ms. Sussich?
Present.
Ms. Flowers? Mr. Gangler?
Here.
Giles?
Here.
Gilmore?
Here.
Mr. Greider?
Here.
Hendricks?
Here.
Mr. Kellogg?
Here.
Mr. Prochaska?
Here.
Ms. Vickers?
Here.
You have a quorum.
Thank you. With a quorum being present, may I have a motion to approve the agenda?
So moved.
Motion by Prochaska, seconded by Elizabeth Flowers. All in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Thank you. Special recognition. First off, I'd like to recognize Debbie Gillette and your office for all of the hard work that you've done over the last few weeks, and certainly the last 72 or however many hours as you sprinted to the finish line. So thank you to you and your team. I know a lot of work went into it. You had to scramble quickly with COVID, with the numerous absentee and mail-in ballots, and then most of the reports I had from Election Day, everything was going smoothly and efficiently. So I just wanted to thank you and your team, and I don't know if you had anything you wanted to follow up and mention.
We could not have pulled this off without the best staff in the world. They are dedicated and they put in a lot of time and effort throughout the last 2 months. No time off, long hours, dedicated to the county and to the process of the election. They did a fantastic job.
Thanks to you and to everybody that participated in the process. It's not easy to put yourself out there and to do that. And so, just getting involved and being engaged, I want to congratulate all of you for doing that. And, I noticed one of our candidates is here as well. Anthony, I appreciate all you did, and thanks for participating in the process. And Scott and Eric and Mr. Kellogg, Mr. Prochaska, Ms. Hendricks. Who am I forgetting? Oh, Ms. Flowers, of course, as well, and that were on the ballot yesterday. Appreciate that as well. Another thing I wanted to mention was the census. Do you have any update on that, Robin, for us?
I do. As you know, it's all finished. It ended kind of abruptly on October 15th. For Illinois, 99.9% of the households in the state were enumerated, either by self-response or somebody knocking on their door. So we did hit all the doors. Doesn't mean we got all the people, but we definitely hit all the doors. The state of Illinois' self-response rate was 71.4%. Kendall ended up tied for second place as the highest in the state at 82.3%. And we really made a run on Monroe County, who finished at 82.9%. So we did really well. It all changed very dramatically from the time we first had the commission to how it all ended with COVID. But I think we did a good job. Mira, who is gone, but she was a fantastic resource for us. And Scott Latrice stepped up and helped with some of the final reporting that we had to do. So it was a good experience. And I think we made the very best that we could out of a very strange situation.
It really was. And I'm glad you mentioned Mira. She did a tremendous amount of work for us, and we even did, those videos came out, and we had some good natured fun with our friends up in McHenry, and so I wanted to thank you for all of your hard work on it as well. And you, as you look around, everybody's kind of, or a few people anyway, have the Kendall Counts masks and T-shirts. So I had a new one made for you that says Kendall Counted. because we did. So let me give this to you.
Aww,
thank you. I know. I tried.
It's COVID's fault. Aw, how sweet.
Thank you.
You wanted to put it in my purse. I saw you look. You were like, oh, too far.
Next, I wanted to take a second. Coming up on Monday is Veterans Day. And Wednesday, I'm sorry, is Veterans Day. And it's a important for us to recognize all of the efforts that our veterans have made for us. So I wanted to just take a second and ask you all to think about them, you know, on that day and every day as well. But also point out that it's going to be National Veterans Small Business Week as well. So there are several events that are going on over the next, both starting this week. So for the rest of the week, there's going to be Leveraging Your Network and Resources tomorrow, which is a webinar with the Institute for Veterans and Military Families that starts at noon. And then there's a Financial Strategies for Women Veteran Entrepreneurs as well on Friday. And so if you know of someone that has a passion for advancing, you know, veterans entrepreneurship opportunities as well, you know, I think that that's important. So, you know, did this get forwarded around to all the board members, Scott?
I sent it to Chad Lockman to make sure that he shares it out, but I can forward it around to the board members as well.
So I just wanted to take a second to recognize our veterans. And then last but not least, I do want to recognize, to take a moment to recognize Bud Tenpen. He was a former mayor of Yorkville who passed away recently at the age of 92. And just mention a few things about him. He lived quite a life and did quite a bit for the city of Yorkville and for Kendall County. Mr. Tenpen served as the city of Yorkville as treasurer until he went into active duty during the Korean War. He served in the National Guard and was a longtime member of the Cross Lutheran Church. Grew up in Yorkville and graduated from high school here in 1946. He and his wife owned the Yorkville Appliance and Furniture Company in downtown Yorkville from 1971 to 1991. In 1969, he was elected as an alderman for the city of Yorkville, then elected mayor in 1975, serving until 1983. He was on the Kendall County Law Enforcement Commission and a past president of the Yorkville Lions Club. His administration developed one of the first land cash ordinances in the state of Illinois to require land or cash for future parks and schools from developers. They were also successful in giving cities and counties jurisdiction over garbage landfills. So I wanted to mention that the visitation is going to be this Friday, from 12 to 1 p.m. at Cross Lutheran, and a service following at 1 p.m. So I just wanted to recognize that community member as well. Next up is public comment. Just say your name for the record, and you have 5 minutes.
Up here and say what an honor it's been to be able to be at these board meetings for the last year. You guys have really kind of made me really impressed with the way that there are moments, but you guys keep partisanship off the board and everyone works together. I've been to all the municipalities in District 1 throughout my campaign, and a lot of those guys run great meetings, but you know, you guys run really great meetings here. And I just wanted to say thank you. I learned a lot about civic engagement, and even though I won't have the pleasure of serving with you guys, I think I can speak for at least just about everybody, pretty much everyone on this board, that I'm excited the ones that will continue to serve in whatever capacity you're going to be serving are representing me and my interests. So thanks very much. And I felt that, you know, without Todd here tonight, someone had to make a public comment. So
appreciate that.
Thank you, Anthony.
Thank you, Anthony.
That was a good one.
Does anybody else want to speak for the next 4 minutes? In 8 seconds? Remain? I'm kidding. Any other public comment? Is there a motion to approve the consent agenda? Motion by Gilmore, seconded by Flowers. All in favor, signify by, I'm sorry, roll call, please.
Yes.
Flowers?
Aye.
Mr. Gangler?
Yes.
Mr. Giles?
Yes.
Ms. Gilmore?
Yes.
Mr. Greider?
Yes.
Hendricks?
Yes.
Mr. Kellogg?
Yes.
Mr. Prochaska?
Yes.
Vickers?
Yes.
Old business? New business? Do we need to go into? Okay. Okay. New business. May I have a motion to approve ratification and approval of the collective bargaining agreement between Kendall County, Illinois, the Kendall County Sheriff, and the Illinois Fraternal Order of Police Labor Council Correction Deputies Bargaining Unit effective December 1, 2019 through November 30th, 2024.
So moved.
Motion by Gilmore, seconded by Prochaska. Any discussion on this?
I don't know if there is any. Obviously, Sheriff Baird is here as well. They have signed the agreement. It's a five-year agreement. It's been discussed.
We can't hear you at all.
It's the. Does that work?
Yeah.
Okay. It's the five-year agreement that's been discussed. It's the last of the FOP units to settle. We were able to avoid the mediation scheduled and stayed within the authorities. So, if there's any.
Sheriff, anything you'd like to add?
Yeah, I just wanted to thank Board Member Robin Vickers for her timeless effort negotiating this contract. And obviously, we know Amy helped out on the patrol side, so I really thank the board members for being there. It's a lot of time on their part, a lot of negotiations going back and forth, and they showed patience and grace at the appropriate times, and I think it ended well in order to avoid going to arbitration. And I feel it was a fair package. The correctional deputies are appreciative, and we were able to get some things in there that we needed as an employer to help our recruiting efforts in order to staff our jail accordingly.
Well, I just want to add to what Dwight was saying too, and I wish Leslie was here because we well, for a myriad reasons, but mainly because,
you know, here.
If we didn't have her negotiating these, we'd probably always be in some sort of arbitration or mediation. And she's outstanding when it comes to these things. And the patience, obviously, she has a lot of practice with Mr. Weiss, but, you know, even doubly so when she gets into these union negotiations.
I didn't know this was a roast area.
We have really hit the jackpot with Leslie. So,
yeah.
So I will be sure to pass that along to her. But I wish she were here tonight to be here for this, because I know it was and Mr. Keppel too. I mean, Scott really worked hard on this as well. So appreciate it.
Dear Wise,
I'll pass on the good stuff. I'm sure I wish she was here right on
too. Just for the rest of the board, I mean, she spends a lot of time, and I want to give her a little kudos just because a lot of it you don't see that information being brought here. She spends a lot of time on her off hours, weekends, nights, going through those proposals, trying to figure out how to do those things and how to make it work within the parameters that are set. So I know that's a lot of work that you don't see behind the schedules, and obviously there's a cost savings by having her here. We're not paying the outside counsel, but the more important is that day-to-day communication or minute-to-minute communication in some cases with the ones that are sitting through the unit negotiations to make sure it's getting what you want done, communicating with the elected official if that's the case, to make sure they're getting what they need and getting all that done in a proper time frame too. So I know they take a long time. It's sort of the nature of the beast, but she does a great job. So I'm very happy that she's there as well. So, and I'll make sure she knows to be here next time, because obviously I'm not welcome.
Oh, God. I know nobody even said anything.
Roll call.
Ms. Flowers.
Aye.
Mr. Gangler.
Yes.
Mr. Giles.
Yes.
Yes.
Mr. Greider.
Yes.
Ms. Hendricks.
Yes.
Mr. Kellogg.
Yes.
Mr. Prochaska.
Yes.
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 Carries all eyes. Thank you. Next up, may I have a motion to approve the ordinance adopting a new county seal. Motion by Kellogg.
Second.
Seconded by Flowers. Mr. Keppel.
The ordinance is located on page 22 and 23 of your packet. I want to thank Member Prochaska for working with me to come up with the ordinance that are best to pull together some good whereases and get the information in there and the description of it in case it's lost again.
Can you put it on the screen?
Oh, Yeah, yeah, I'll pull up here in just a moment.
Is he pulling up the ordinance? Look how nice that is.
There you go.
Yes, ooh and ah.
I like it.
Let the record reflect that there were many oohs and ahs from the crowd when unveiled. Yeah. Anything else, Scott?
Just a lot of work and meetings put in by Scott and Amy to talk, a lot of feedback. I think we've come pretty far. I think it's almost impossible to get a seal that everybody loves, but I think this will work for what we need. And it's more modern than our current one.
It did take a lot of work, and this is one of those things where everybody has their own vision of our county, and none of those visions are you know, incorrect either. So it made it a bit of a challenge to go ahead, Scott.
I just wanted to also thank Kelly Rice and Imagination. That's who we worked with to do this. It's nice to use the local female business to be a part of the process.
I agree. She worked with us quite a bit as we worked through it. You know, as I was starting to say, that it takes quite a bit to realize the visions of 10 board members and 130,000 residents as to what our seal should look like. And ultimately, we went with something that was a little bit probably more simple. You know, this building has been here since what is the date? June 16th of 1864, and so pretty close to the beginning of the county. And then the stars represent the 9 townships that make up Kendall County, and you'll note in the background that you can faintly see the outline of the county map as well, so that was all incorporated within as well. So I think it ended up being pretty really happy with how it looks, and after many iterations, some different pictures and a lot of ideas batted around, I think we ended up with a good, really good one. Anything, Ms. Sessa, you want to add?
Yeah, I mean, just to echo what Mr. Greider was saying, we did spend actually way more time than we thought we would on this, going back and forth, because, correct me if I'm wrong, Mr. Keppel, we started like in January, maybe even December, talking about it.
It was definitely pre-COVID.
Yeah.
When we started.
So when we first were looking at this, we all had ideas. You know, let's pick something, you know, that represents the county. We had corn in there, wheat, you know, for our farming. We wanted the Fox River in there. So you have all of these beautiful elements of our county that we would love to showcase in a seal. And when you look at other seals as examples, that wasn't, you know, sort of out of the realm of possibility to put all those little elements in there. But every time we would look at it and come back with something and look at it again, you know, and then, you know, you would kind of show another board member here and there, and they would be like, absolutely not, that type of thing. And it actually, Scott and I, if we had our way, it would be square. So that was just an emphatic no from everyone. So he and I were definitely outnumbered on that one. So. But yeah, this was a good compromise. I like the shadow of the township map in the back. If you look at it really closely, you can see the grid. It's a very good rendition of our courthouse here. So I really think it was a good compromise. So I hope that for years to come, when there are new board members and new people in the county, this is something we'll be proud of, for that time as well. So it was good.
The reason we wanted it square was to represent the square of our county.
Yeah, we are actually one of the only complete squares. Right. Like,
that's yeah. Right. Mr. Cullig, did you have a motion?
No.
Oh. Any other questions on this? Comments? Roll call, please.
Gangler?
Yes.
Giles?
Yes.
Ms. Gilmore? Mr. Greider?
Yes.
Hendricks?
No.
Mr. Kellogg?
Yes.
Mr. Prochaska?
Yes.
Yes. Ms. Sessage?
Yes.
Flowers?
Aye.
Carries 9-1. Thank you. Next, may have an approval of a resolution approving the IDPH COVID-19 testing. Motion by Hendricks, seconded by Flowers. Mr. Knepel?
This starts on page 24 in your packet. Wanted to thank Jim Webb and Rayanne working together on this to put it together. And what this allows for is between now and March 31st, 2021, 50 testing sites that IDPH can perform. Sometimes these come together rather quickly. Sometimes in the future they may come as a need or a response to a spike inside Kendall County, and we're not always available to get it put in front of the board to get it done in time. And we didn't want to restrict that, especially because IDPH bears the cost on these. So it's really advantageous for Kendall County. It's also an important part of our plan that we have to, when we our health department has discussions with the state, one of the ways that we're going to try to control the spread is to have testing available to our citizens. So these are very important that we can have these ready to go when needed. And they've been successful. I also wanted to mention that on the 7th and 8th, there will be more testing, which is already scheduled, coming up. And that is from 8 a.m. to 4 p.m. at the Health and Human Services Building.
Thank you. Ms. Hendricks.
I'd like to add that that is conveniently located in the Public Health Department's parking lot, and you do not have to have symptoms in order to be tested. And I believe they are only doing the nasal swab at this time. So to say, for planning purposes for everyone, if you're going to go and get tested, you're going to need a few days to get your results back, just so they know. And just to make it really clear for the public, this just enables us to be able to have testing come faster without having to vote on it in front of the board every time. So it's just functionally much easier for the county.
Well.
Giles?
Yes.
Mr. Greider?
Yes.
Ms. Hendricks?
Yes.
Kellogg?
Mr.
Prochaska?
Yes.
Ms. Vickers?
Yes.
Ms. Sessage?
Yes.
Ms. Flowers?
Aye.
Mr. Gangler?
Yes.
All ayes. Motion carries. Thank you. Was there a need for executive session? Yeah, we'll wait to the end. Okay. There'll be no action coming out of it, but we'll do executive at the end. Elected official reports and other department reports. Sheriff has left, and Debbie, kind of had you go earlier. Do you have anything else you want to add? Any updates on numbers or anything? No? All right. Anyone else? Standing committee reports, finance.
Hey, Scott, this is Rand. I'm on the phone.
Oh, hey, Rand. Thank you.
Hey, and thank you, Scott Copel, for presenting on those, on the resolution. So thank you very much. You did a great job. I just wanted to give an update on Monday and Tuesday's testing. That on Monday we had 197 come through, and yesterday, after a 40-minute delay by IDPH, we had 302 come through to be tested.
Scott, did you catch that?
Yeah, I believe it was 192 on Tuesday, or on Monday, and then on Tuesday you had 302. Is that right, Ryan, for the number of tests?
Yeah, 197 on Monday, and then 302. So almost 500 in the last 2 days in testing. And with the weather being very nice this weekend and having it be a weekend, I'm sure that we are going to have a busy parking lot that day as well, or both days.
Oh, Ms. Hessage.
Brian, since you're on the line, do you recommend that even if people aren't having symptoms, that everybody get tested? Is this something where, because you know, there's been conversations about people walking around without symptoms that are possibly positive, so should we all be just getting tested when it is available like this? Should we try to do that, or is it, are you just recommending that if you are have been in contact with somebody or near somebody or nervous about maybe that you possibly could be or something like that? Or are you suggesting that maybe everyone should try to get tested?
You know, there's no harm in getting tested. It's, as Audra mentioned, you know, it is just a nasal swab. And, you know, getting tested, you're going to be sure that, you know, where you are and if you need to quarantine and keeping your family as well as the community safe. We know that right now we have substantial community spread. It's a huge concern. It's only getting worse. And for those that, you know, are interested, I would recommend coming and getting tested, because then we know moving forward, you know, to isolate and quarantine, and you know, we can help to slow the spread. That's the importance of having these testing available, is just making sure you don't have to have symptoms. Anybody can come through. It's free of charge. It does take about 4 days to get your results, but then we do know exactly where we stand with our numbers here in Kendall County, and help to slow this infection.
Okay, thank you.
What kind of contact tracing are we doing? Once people are identified as having COVID, what kind of contact tracing?
Yeah, we're doing the best we can. We find out through our state system as the positive cases come in, and we turn around and we're trying within 24 hours, but our cases are outnumbering our staff right now. And we're trying to get back to them. We're getting the positive cases and really trying to work on the contacts in order to slow the spread. But we're working diligently to reach out to all the positive cases as well as the close contacts of those positive cases.
Okay, thank you.
I just have one. So,
hey, Tony.
If someone tests positive, then is... I know it's going to sound like a silly question, but is that information released in any way, shape, or form to outside bodies?
Nope, it's all confidential. We're bounded by HIPAA.
Okay, and that's what I thought. So the reason why, and I was also wondering for, you know, I guess I have personal reason there. So my daughter tested positive, and ever since then, she's been getting text messages from CVS saying, you have a COVID test appointment in like an hour and a half. And, you know, we just ignored it at first, but then, and they're like at different locations, but they're actually CVS numbers and CVS locations, and which seemed weird. So I didn't know if you'd heard anything like that coming through from people reporting.
I haven't heard anything like that. No,
okay.
No, it's all protected by HIPAA, and, yeah, we're not able to divulge that either when we call a close contact and they're wondering who the close contact was. We can't give that information. We just have to let them know that they were a close contact of someone that has tested positive.
Right, right. And that was my understanding, was that it was a HIPAA issue. So that's what I was trying to figure it out, because, you know, it wasn't until after the positive came through that the text messages started like 2 days later. And so it was like, that's just weird. All right. Well, I appreciate your help with that. Thank you.
Sure. Anything else?
Oh, thanks, Rayanne. Oh, I'm sorry.
There
is one more thing, Rayanne. Oh. Go ahead, Otter.
What is our 7-day rolling average in Kendall County?
Our 7-day rolling average in Kendall County is 14.1, the highest it's been. And in our region today, our 7-day rolling average is 10.1.
Is our 7-day rolling average in the region? Yes, but in Kendall County, it's 14.1.
That's correct.
So, once again, for everyone listening and for the press to disseminate, it's just so incredibly important that everybody wear masks everywhere they go, including this room, because it's the only way. It's like one of the most effective weapons we have to stopping the spread, because it's possible to be infectious and not know that you're infectious. It's incredibly important for everyone to wear a mask. So if you care about your community, and I know everybody claims they do, then you need to wear a mask so you're not potentially infecting the others around you. If you do that, we can slow the spread of this, and we can actually keep our economy on a good track here in Kendall County, which we've managed to do up until this point. So just to make the point again, it's incredibly important that everyone wear masks everywhere they go. And if you would all please care about your community as much as you all say you do, I look forward to seeing masks everywhere I go in the county. Thank you.
Any other elected officials on the line or department heads? None? Thank you. Fran, did you have anything you wanted to add? All right. I will add one thing for you, Fran, that the letting for Alamein Road is on Friday. So that's exciting news for the county. All right, standing committee reports. Finance, Mr. Kellogg.
I'd like to
Make a motion to approve an ordinance approving the Kendall County Fiscal Year 2021 budget and appropriations.
Second.
Kellogg, seconded by Prochaska. Discussion? Roll call.
Ms. Gilmore?
Yes.
Mr. Greider?
Yes.
Ms. Hendricks?
Yes.
Mr. Kellogg?
Yes.
Mr. Prochaska?
Yes.
Vickers? Yes. Ms. Sesich?
Yes.
Ms. Flowers?
Aye.
Mr. Gangler?
Yes.
Mr. Giles?
Yes.
Ayes. Motion carries. Thank you.
Make a motion to approve an ordinance approving a budget amendment for the Kendall County Fiscal Year 2019-2020 annual budget.
Second.
Kellogg, seconded by Hendricks. Mr. Keppel, do you have anything you want to add?
Yeah, so the reason behind the budget amendment is a couple of items, one being COVID-19, and this helps to cover some of the unexpected costs due to COVID-19 that we had, mainly in facilities and IT contracts for cleaning and other areas, laptops that we had to purchase. It also, the SSA money that from the agreements that the county board made with a couple of developers, that money was put into the general fund. It took a while to get them approved and then get the money to show up on our accounts. We wanted to verify that it was all there first before budgeting for it. This will do a transfer out to capital funds to help cover the costs related to or in future capital costs for the SSA funds. And additionally, anything in the fund balance policy states that the county is to keep the general fund balance between 6 and 7 months. When the amount gets over 7 months, then there needs to be a transfer made from the general fund to capital funds. So this is one of the ways that Kendall County is able to, if we do a good job with our finances, we don't have to borrow money for major projects such as air conditioner replacements, the security project in the jail, all of the renovations that are happening to the county office building to make it safer and have a modernized boardroom. So that's the method that we've taken in the past. That's a recommendation from the auditor when we have changes like this to do a budget amendment. There's also a couple in there from Debbie because of the changes this year with COVID-19 related to the election.
Mr. Kellogg.
Yeah, if you go to page 31 and 32, 33, that outlines it instead of in words. Latrice did a good job of putting the exacts in there. We also want to commend the health department for being very transparent and providing all their updates with the changes, not only with COVID, but other client assistance numbers that have come in mid-year, have in the past, and we haven't been notified in this year. Thanks to Rayanne and the staff over there. We had very good communications with them, so that's in there. And as Scott was mentioning, if you go down on page 32 near the bottom, the capital funds, you'll see two significant numbers. As we discussed the SSA settlements over a year ago and wanting to put those into capital so the citizens would really see a true benefit from, you know, that settlement. That number's in there as well as to get us to the correct fund balance. Mr. Keppel alluded to that a little bit, but we do estimate our revenues low just because if they do come in better, it allows us to do funds for capital projects. If we have a year like this where we have fees or taxes or things that don't meet expectation, it gives us the cushion to still meet the budget. So it's almost like we're funding projects a year behind by conservatively budgeting our revenues. So that you'll see that, and in the budget we passed, we have about $2 million worth of capital improvements that will be coming before the board for individual improvement in the next year.
Thank you. Roll call.
Mr. Greider?
Yes.
Ms. Hendricks?
Yes.
Mr. Kellogg?
Yes.
Mr. Prochaska?
Yes.
Ms. Vickers?
Yes.
Ms. Sesich?
Yes.
Flowers? Mr. Gangler?
Yes.
Mr. Giles?
Yes.
Yes.
Ayes. Motion carries. Thank you. Anything else for finance?
Well, I do want to thank all the staff, Scott and Latrice and Valerie up there, and the admin that, you know, worked tirelessly getting to where point we're at, and then of course the electeds and department heads that, you know, really sharpened pencil, whether it was on salaries or different projects, getting us to a balanced budget. There's no CPI increase in this budget for the fourth year in a row. I think that's important, and we're going to we're going to continue to look at other revenue sources that we have and look at that trend and see hopefully that we can take the burden off the taxpayer, the real estate taxpayers. It's a slow process to lower real estate taxes for the county this way, but if we don't try, then I just get tired of people saying, well, it's only $20 and it's only this, and the only gets compounded onto 7-8 taxing bodies on your real estate tax, and suddenly it's only $200 or $300, and we know how that ends. So I think it's important we lead the way for the other taxing bodies. I don't know if they're gonna ever follow us, but I appreciate everybody on the board and all the work you did coming to the meetings, committees of the whole, the special meetings. So thank you.
Thank you for all your hard work. I know you spent countless hours going over all of the budgets, working with our department heads, working with staff, and I want to echo the your comments to staff as well. Scott and Latrice, you guys did a great job as well. Go ahead, Scott.
Last step in the process is the levies. We do by law have to post in the paper and have a hearing for the levies. That will be coming up either at the next meeting or more likely a special meeting at the end of November. But the goal from the Finance Committee was to get all of these approved with this board, the entire budget. So it looks like we'll be able to reach that goal.
Great. Admin HR, Liz.
I need a motion to approve worker compensation, liability, property, and cybersecurity insurance renewal in the amount of $642,184.
Second. By Hendricks, seconded by Giles. Any discussion on this one, Scott?
Got a handout on your desk for the renewal. Alliant Mesero working for us on this one. We're going to, the plan is to stick with ICRMT. Much like you heard earlier in the Forest Preserve meeting, we did get a credit, although ours was quite a bit larger, $53,000, for being a longtime customer of ICRMT. Decided to stay with them. So there is a reduction, actually, from last year in the total cost for insurance, which in this market, I've been told, is just impossible. So great to see that happen for us. There are several things out there, COVID, a lot of property damage, hail, other things that have been happening. So we were able to keep our rate at a negative. We kept our cybersecurity insurance with the carry that we had last year because we, under advice from myself and Matt Kinsey, want a high level of retention. So we kept that $3 million retention. We will shop that next year as the market becomes more competitive. But we wanted to, not everybody offers the plan that we need. We just have so much data between all of the offices in the county that we recommended to stay with this level of coverage. So that did go up slightly, but it's not a huge cost compared to the entirety of the agreement.
I know. It's like your peripheral vision is out. I'm sorry, Scott. As far as the cybersecurity or the insurance for this type of thing, what does that entail? So, I mean, when we look at insurance, something happens to us or our car or whatever, there's a deductible, you pay it out. So are we talking about data breach? How do they compensate us, or how does that work? I it's probably just a dumb question because I just don't know, but.
I'll do broad strokes because I don't want to give away too much about our security and how it relates to it. But
sure.
One of the easiest costs that happens is if we get hacked and data is exposed from, let's just say, the circuit clerk's office. There's people's personal information is found. There are laws that dictate that we have to send multiple letters to these people to inform them that their data was breached. You may have got a letter from a bank or credit card or Target in the past. In certain circumstances, we have to do multiple credit reports for those people whose data was breached. There are significant costs related to a data breach that we would have to incur. So we have a fairly high deductible because if it happens, it's going to be bad. But it's $50,000, but then it can get, you know, over $1 million pretty quickly. If we get ransomware and our data gets completely locked, there are very high costs with getting in and going back to our backups, to restoring data, hiring companies to come in and do forensics. It can get very, very, very expensive, and that helps us to buy this. When you have cyber insurance, if we do have a breach or a hack, we have to contact not only law enforcement authorities, But we also need to contact our insurance company so we can forensically go through it appropriately. And nothing about it is cheap.
So is this cost in here, the cyber liability, is that the cost per year for it?
Yes.
And you don't, are you saying a lot of insurance companies still don't offer this type of thing yet and it's not very competitive? Or?
Well, it's new compared to like auto insurance. So when it first came out, it was all over the map. It got a little bit better, but then local governments have been targeted more in the past 3 years than private businesses. So the costs have gone up significantly. ICRMT used to frankly do it. They didn't pay a lot of attention to it. They've gotten better. They partnered with an excellent company, but they can't offer us the retention level that Matt and I think is necessary. They may be able to do that for us next year. Matt Kinsey and I think is necessary, so we're gonna go back to them. And this is something where we do look at rates frequently because it does change so often. It used to be all over the map, but now it's starting to settle, but not everybody offers the retention levels we think is necessary.
Okay, good
enough,
thank you.
Health department, courts, voting. I mean, we have a lot of information at the county.
Thank you.
Hendricks?
Yes.
Kellogg?
Yes.
Mr. Prochaska?
Yes.
Ms. Vickers?
Yes.
Ms. Sesich?
Yes.
Yes.
Giles?
Yes.
Mr. Grader?
Yes. All eyes, motion carries. Thank you. And good news on that. Special committee reports, county organizations, Mr. Prochaska.
And the Illinois State Association of Counties is not going to be having its in-person December meeting. They have, for our annual business meeting, we have opted for a virtual option. Details to that will be coming, and anyone is welcome to attend. The United Counties Council is also currently indefinitely postponing in-person meetings, just using Zoom teleconferences at this time. In terms of NACO, same thing, everything in person has been postponed indefinitely. In terms of legislative updates, we don't know what is going to happen with veto session. No one knows at this time if it's actually going to happen, if it's not going to happen. And in terms of anything from DC, we don't know anything until everything is settled.
Saying indefinitely for this year, or even at looking at 2021 meetings?
Looking at 2021, UCCI is going to publish a tentative schedule for in-person meetings, but until COVID is done, I would not expect an in-person UCCI meeting.
Interesting.
Similarly, the Fox Valley Workforce Development Board will be meeting tomorrow virtually, which is a reschedule from yesterday morning because they had some incidents that took place that required them to reschedule, and it's also going to be virtual for the time being indefinitely. And so if anybody, you can also attend, the public can attend that. So it's tomorrow morning, 7:30 a.m. Woo! And it's virtual.
Chairman's report. I would like to get a motion to approve Nancy Pattish, 708 Mental Health Board, 3-year term expiring November 2023. So moved. Motion by Gilmore.
Second.
Seconded by Prochaska. All in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? Thank you. A public comment? No second crack? Thank you. Questions from the press?
Wyman, WSPY. Was there a seal before, a county seal?
Yes.
Did one ever exist?
Our Illinois with the crosshairs on there.
Oh, that's right.
There wasn't a seal officially, though, Matthew. Do you want to take this one?
Our logo, or?
It was like a logo, right?
Yeah.
County logo?
That was square, right?
No, it was the shape of the state of Illinois. Nobody's wearing it, huh?
I have that somewhere. Oh, yeah. Yeah, there you go.
Right.
Yep, Mr. Prochaska.
Adopted in 1841, but the minutes of those meetings just said there was a county seal adopted.
I'd like to see that, wouldn't you?
He's looked.
I've looked.
Of course he's looked, yeah.
Does the circuit clerk keep those records?
Debbie
it's
does.
You.
I'd like to also thank Debbie Gillette for her cooperation during the election cycle. I know she was busy many times when we at WSPY called her and asked her for interviews. And after what happened in LaSalle County last night with the state's attorney's election going from Donnelly to Martin in a matter of when they dumped 6,000 mail-in ballots at the very end, and Karen Donnelly had been declared the winner, and we had even interviewed her on the air.
Oh, God.
and so when something like that happens, you really look back and appreciate how much Debbie Gillette does and how excellent she is at her job. So thank you very much, Debbie.
All right. There is a need for executive session for the purpose of
C2. Collective negotiating matters between the public body and its employees or their representatives, or deliberations concerning salary schedules for one or more classes of employees.
So moved.
Chaska, roll call, please.
Kellogg? Mr. Prochaska? Ms. Vickers? Ms. Hessage?
Yes.
Ms. Flowers?
Aye.
Mr. Gangler?
Yes.
Yes.
Mr. Greider?
Yes.
Ms. Hendricks?
Yes.
For the press, there will be no action other than adjournment. All right, we are back in regular session. Is there a motion to adjourn?
Motion to adjourn.
Motion by Mr. Prochaska, second by.
Aye.
You know what? I should do this. You should do that next time.
I like that.
Instead of that.